Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, here we go. What the hell? Okay, it's raining. It's going to be kind of rainy and stormy all day today, but it's Friday. So who cares? We'll have fun anyway. And we'll talk a little bit about politics early in the show today. But then we're going to move on, and we'll have fun. Sunday is Mother's Day, so we got to talk about the mothers. Your mother, your mom, what did you learn from your mom, your wife, your girlfriend who's a mother. And also, as we do every year, we'll talk about some of the sexiest TV moms. I'm Scoot. Reach over there and crank it up. This is what you have been working for. All right, yeah, it's Friday. I mean, I think the weekend's going to turn out to be okay weather-wise, but yeah, a lot of rain expected today, and I've looked at the radar, and it's all red and green. I mean, it looks like a Christmas scene. So, yeah, a lot of storms, mainly earlier today, there were storms along the coast from, like, Galliano, Grand Isle, Port Sulphur, mouth of the river down in that area. So a lot of rain. Just, hey, be careful. And if it gets a little heavy and you're driving, do not turn on your hazard lights. It's illegal, and it's also the wrong thing to do. If you feel like you need to turn on your hazard lights, then obviously you're feeling vulnerable. And the best thing to do is to just pull over and get off the highway until the rain passes, because none of this rain stays forever. All right, we have a lot to get to this afternoon. We'll touch on politics early in the show, and then we'll have fun the rest of the day. But, you know, even when we talk about politics, you know, I'm never going to lose my sarcastic edge. So even when we talk about politics, some of it is not that serious. There are going to be more police at the lakefront for Mother's Day, just like Easter, so be prepared for that. Last night at the American Country Music Awards, Morgan Wallen did not show up. He had 7 nominations, and he didn't even show. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him. Let's see. Yesterday was Cam Jordan Day in New Orleans, and there is not a better saint to be honored than Cam Jordan. I mean, there are a lot of good saints and a lot of people that care about the city. Derek Carr, by the way, is not one of them. But Cam Jordan certainly deserves the honor, and he said, we are locked in, and we've got the story on our website at WWL.com. Okay, so we're learning more about Pope Leo XIV. And again, as I said yesterday, I was kind of surprised about the name Leo, Pope Leo, because, you know, Leo's not in the Bible. I mean, I haven't read the Bible, you know, I haven't read every page of the Bible. I've got my favorite parts of the Bible. I tend to go back to those. but I don't remember anybody named Leo in the Bible. So it's kind of surprising that he selected the name Leo. But there's a history behind that. Anyway, there's a connection with his family to New Orleans. It goes back hundreds of years. And interestingly, he is a mulatto. So a very, very diverse Pope, a big, big surprise selection. I mean, he was not even, well, we mentioned the day before he was selected. We mentioned he's in the running. I did mention his name on the air. But he was not even on the list of any of the popes that people were betting on. So he was a big, surprise. So, we'll talk a little bit about that, and there'll be more information coming out about him, and we'll follow that because there are a lot of Catholics in New Orleans and throughout Southwest Louisiana. Let's see. There's somebody on Newsmax. You know, that's the extreme right-wing radical propaganda station, Newsmax. They do a lot of lying. Now, if you want to watch for entertainment purposes, that's cool, but don't watch it for the truth. There was a panelist on Newsmax who is trying to convince the current administration to ban bicycle lanes, claiming that bicycle lanes are un-American and communist garbage. Bicycle lanes are un-American? Bicycle lanes are communist garbage? I don't think so. And we'll touch on that a little bit. Also, this afternoon, I'm going to get Ian to get on AI, and we're going to ask AI if 100 men could beat one silverback gorilla. You know, we've talked about this a lot on the show. We had a quick text off, and we're responding to this social media buzz about whether or not 100 average men could beat one silverback gorilla. And we've had a text off, and our audience believes, like I do, that the one silverback gorilla could beat the 100 men. So we'll see if AI has an opinion about that. George Santos, you know, he's that wacko guy, that Republican on Capitol Hill who's been, you know, kicked out and now he's going to prison. Man, he's begging, he's crying. He's scheduled to go to prison for 87 months. And the clock is ticking. And he is begging the President of the United States for commutation, clemency, or whatever. And he was crying. He's going to prison. This is the guy who would sometimes dress up like a woman. So, you know, see, once again, you know, you can't stereotype all Republicans. I mean, there are probably, I'm sure there are Republican cross-dressers. There are Republicans who are cross-dressers. There are Republicans who are drag queens. But I got the impression that George Santos fit into that category of cross-dresser, which is different from a drag queen. I know it's all very confusing. It's confusing to me, too. And I know a little bit about it, but it's still confusing. But George Santos was a Republican cross-dresser. Former FBI director, J. Edgar Hoover. Tough guy, man. One of the toughest guys ever to head the FBI under Richard Nixon and I think Johnson as well. Anyway, J. Edgar Hoover had the image of just being one of the toughest, meanest FBI directors in history. And it was widely believed that he was a cross-dresser. In other words, a straight man who likes to dress up in women's clothes. Now, somebody listening is a cross-dresser, they get it. Somebody listening has tendencies, but maybe they've never done it, but they've thought about it, they get it. The rest of you might not get it. I had a lot of cross-dressing friends in Denver, and one of the production director at the radio station I worked for in Denver was a cross-dresser. And, you know, one night I'm going to, like, my favorite nightclub to go dancing, and I look over and I go, man, that woman looks really, really familiar. And I look back again, I know this woman, but I don't think I've ever met her. I look over a third time, and it's like, oh, my God, it's freaking Mark Andrews. And he is out. He's well-known as a cross-dresser. In fact, he DJs a really popular night in Denver. I forget the name of the nightclub, but it's the biggest nightclub in Denver on Saturday night. And in cross-dressing in women's clothes, he DJs a night, and it's a very, very popular night. So anyway, yeah, some people are not going to get what George Santos did, but I believe he was just a cross-dresser. But there are straight men who just enjoy dressing up in women's clothes. Some of them do it privately. This is what I've learned. They start out and they just do it at home. And they don't go out. And the big deal is, when they make that decision that now they're going to dress up in women's clothes and actually go out. But there are Republicans who do this. There are conservatives who do this as well. And George Santos is a perfect example. And look, you know, some of them, you know, don't look that great. Some of them really do look good. And I remember it was one Halloween in Denver, and we were all together in one of those like limo buses things. And we were all together, and one of our friends, I didn't know this person that well, but anyway, one of our cross-dressing friends was dressed up as a naughty nurse. And this was one of the guys that had, you know, really had a nice figure and looked really, really good dressed up as a woman. And this guy that I didn't know that well, he kind of elbowed me on the bus, and he says, "Hey, listen, if I get really drunk tonight and start to hit on that, would you please stop me?" And I thought that was just hysterical. So anyway, George Santos begging the president of the United States to help him because he doesn't want to go to prison. I don't know if that's going to happen. All right, let's see. What else do we have to talk about? Brett Baer says, of course, the president helped break the trust in the media. I don't know how far we're going to get into that today. We may talk more about that next week because it's interesting the impact that the current president of the United States has had on the media. Let's see. The president has also just really been adamant about the corporate owners of MSNBC. They should be forced to tell the truth after a critical tariff segment. So they did something on the tariffs that the president said isn't true. Well, okay, let's not be a hypocrite. If you want MSNBC to tell the truth, then you have to call out Fox News for not telling the truth. You have to call out all of the conservative minions who are on talk radio, who are not that smart, who are just repeating brainwashed BS. They're just repeating this to their audiences, and sadly, their audiences are sucking it up, going, "Yeah, man, that must be true, because he said it." Look, there are a lot of people who are talk show hosts who are not that bright. I've been in this business a long time, and I'm being honest with you about this. I mean, I'm calling out my own industry, and I know this for a fact. And they think they're, you know, big you-know-what, but they're not, and they're not that smart. And they don't come up with any original ideas. Everything that they talk about is regurgitated from what they've heard from other conservative media, like Fox News. Like Fox News kind of leads the way. If Fox News says something, then everybody else says the same thing. So anyway, if you want one network to tell the truth, then they all should tell the truth because, you know, I don't know if any of them are really that totally honest. It's more about just riling up. It's more about riling up the base, your audience, than it is about anything else. All right, there's a new report out showing that young people hardly smoke cigarettes anymore, and that's not surprising to me. You know, a lot of people that I see smoking cigarettes are older, and it's sad. I can't believe that there are still people who smoke, but they do. And look, if you smoke, I'm not criticizing you. I mean, I hope you can quit because it's not good for you. But we all do things that are not good for us. Not just smokers. We all do things that are not really that good for us. So I'm not one of those non-smokers who is going to bash and condemn the smokers. But I don't see a lot of young people smoking cigarettes. They vape, but they don't smoke cigarettes. Also, a woman has won a lawsuit over a coworker because the coworker called her Darth Vader. We'll talk about that. I'm Scoot on the air. It is a rainy, cloudy Friday afternoon, but we are heading into the weekend. It's Free for All Friday. If you want to join us with a comment about anything we talk about or anything you want to talk about, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Ian Hook is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you too as well.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Glad to be back with you.
How was the luncheon yesterday?
The luncheon was delightful. This was the New Orleans and Company luncheon, and they were celebrating National Travel and Tourism Week at the Hilton Riverside. So,
what did you have? What was for lunch? What did you
serve? It was a piece of steak, some sort of beef tips or something like that.
What about somebody like me that doesn't eat red meat? Would they have had something else?
No.
What would I have eaten around? What would they have, vegetables or potatoes?
They had some vegetables and potatoes. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So I would have been just locked out of the lunch.
And the dessert.
What was the dessert?
Well, you wouldn't eat the meat, but you could eat the other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, but I'm always a little bit surprised that I'm not picking on this particular luncheon, but when you go to something like that and there's a table service, I'm like, there's nobody knows ahead of time what the meal is going to be. So if you don't eat red meat or you don't eat meat at all, like, why would you come to this? Why would you come to one of these events not knowing if you were going to be able to eat the food or not? Again, not picking on the event yesterday. This is a thing that happens all the time.
Yeah. Well, you go because you want to be part of the event. You go because you want to accept the invitation from New Orleans and Company, and you want to network, and you want to meet people, and you want to celebrate travel and tourism with them, which is what they were celebrating.
Yeah. Beyond that, I mean, it really was pretty amazing to see the accomplishments that the leaders in the tourism and marketing, business here in town, that the things that we've had to endure in the last 20 years between, 9/11 and Katrina and the oil spill and COVID and on the crime and all that.
Well, I'm just really happy that you had a chance to go out and have a nice bougie lunch with the upper management here, and we were doing the show, so I'm glad you had a chance to do that.
I'm glad I had a chance to do that as well.
I know.
What do you want to do?
Well, let's do a couple of quick texts.
Here's a text that says, Scoot, you were criticizing Newsmax back there. Would you say the same about radical left MSNBC?
No, they're not as radical left as Newsmax is radical right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's exactly the right answer.
They're left, but they're not as radical left as Newsmax is.
Nobody is going to deny that MSNBC has a liberal lean to it. I mean, anyone can tell that just by looking at the primetime lineup. But they also practice journalism. They also, there is news value in what happens on MSNBC. And maybe you appreciate that or you don't. But, any expert in the field, any person who cares about this as a science and not just as a reason to get upset, would say, there is journalism happening in that organization. Newsmax has none of that.
Right.
And it's ideology and propaganda all the way down. And it's always been that way.
Yeah. And when I talk about getting trapped in the conservative echo chamber, that's Newsmax. Fox News, but that's really Newsmax. And it's really the right-wing radical talk show host across this country who, under the guise of being talk show host and admittedly conservative, they're not coming up with original thoughts. If you listen to them, they're not coming up with anything new. There are a few conservative podcasters who are, but for the most part, some of these bozos on conservative talk radio, they're not coming up with anything new. They're just regurgitating what they hear.
Yeah, nobody's perfect. Every news organization has biases that are just because people are biased.
Right.
But you don't have to do this knee jerk reaction thing every time someone says, Newsmax is an ideological outfit that's nothing but propaganda. Oh, well, it's got to be the exact same on the other side. It doesn't. There does not have to be a liberal equivalent for everything.
That's right. That is
distasteful about conservative media.
That's
just
right.
Doesn't exist.
And by the way, I think among all of them, I think News Nation is the best. They have opinions. They're not as sharp, but they do have opinions, and they do a lot more journalism, and they do more expansion of the conversation.
I like News Nation, except for the fact that they brought Bill O'Reilly back from the dead. Man, we don't need him anymore.
He looks like he's dead.
He's old.
But I'm old. But I mean, I don't know what happened to him. I mentioned this when they had that town hall with the president of the United States, and I mentioned, I don't know what happened to Bill O'Reilly, but man, he doesn't look good. He looks like he's dead. He's pale. He's thin. He looks like he's been dead for about a week.
I just don't understand if News Nation wants to present itself as kind of like the newest kid on the block in the world of cable news. Why are you going to reach into the shed and dust off Bill O'Reilly, who hasn't been on TV for 10 years because he cost Fox News $250,000 in sexual harassment settlements. Like, why? There's nobody else that you could find?
He's a horn dog.
Why would you have to do that?
All right, but
I'll never understand.
But I will say this about Bill Riley. There were some of the things that he said during that town hall meeting that made him a radical moderate.
He's a little bit moderate at the debate or the town hall. I'll give you that. A couple more quick ones. I know we got to get away. Here's the Texas says, not only should we not be putting on our flashers while we're driving. Here's a text that says, advise people not to stop in the middle of the interstate during rain. This past heavy rainstorm, my coworker was on her way to work, and she said people were just stopping in the middle of the interstate.
Jesus.
Don't do that.
You know, look, if you can't drive, stay the F home. Don't go anywhere. I mean, if you're not capable of driving and making decisions that you have to make while you're driving, stay the F home, please.
And I'll leave you with this one. Why does the name of the Pope have to be in the Bible? You're saying we could never have a Pope Boudreaux or a Pope Thibodeau?
But it would be surprising. You know, I mean, look, we had John Paul. Okay, that Pope named himself after his favorite two Beatles. But in general, you know, Pope Paul, there have been popes. I'm not saying that it can't happen. I'm just saying that it surprises me because one would think that if you're going to select a name and you're Pope, you're not going to come up with Pope Bubba. You're going to come up with a name that might be in the Bible. So while it doesn't have to be, it just surprised me a little bit there.
And I'll leave you with this one. This text says, neither is Francis or Benedict in the Bible.
Well, you know, that's a good point, too.
There you have it.
Yeah. But they sound like they might be.
Absolutely.
Leo doesn't sound like it is.
Yeah, I don't remember anybody Leo in the Bible.
Leo. The gospel according to Leo. Hello, Jerry! All right, if you have a comment, you want to join us, Free For All Friday, the Oakenhart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Also, Sunday is Mother's Day, and we'll be talking a lot about that on the show this afternoon. Think about your mom. I know some of you recognize the sound of this band. Even Supertramp did a song about the rain. Yeah, it's a rainy Friday afternoon, but hey, it's Friday afternoon, so that's good news. I'm Scoot on the air. Let's take a look at Scoot's news briefs. The President of the United States is sticking to his playbook and looking for Fox News when it comes to another big appointment.
President Trump says he's naming Fox News host Jeanine Pirro as the interim U.S. attorney for Washington, D.C. In a post on Truth Social, Trump said Pirro was well qualified for this position. She was elected as a judge in 1990 in New York's Westchester County Court and served three terms as the district attorney there. She's been working for Fox since 2006, most recently co-hosting a weekday evening show, The Five. Pirro has been a vocal Trump backer for many years, speaking here at a New York rally in 2018. Trump's announcement came after he pulled the nomination for conservative activist Ed Martin Jr.
He's a terrific person, and he wasn't getting the support.
A key Republican senator, Tom Tillis, said he opposed Martin's nomination because he worked to defend January 6th rioters.
We have somebody else that will be great.
Pirro herself is one of the defendants in a defamation lawsuit over false election claims by voting technology company Smartmatic USA. Jennifer King, Washington.
All right, look, that's just another example of an on-air personality on a news network campaigning for a candidate, the President of the United States. For example, CNN and MSNBC don't do that. Just wanted to make that distinction. So the President of the United States has suggested that maybe cutting his proposed tariffs on China in half will get them to the bargaining table.
President Trump is floating a tariff cut for China before a meeting between top Washington and Beijing officials this weekend. The president's looking to de-escalate the trade war between the world's two biggest economies. Right now, he has a 145% tariff on China, a number his trade team acknowledges is unsustainable, given that effectively is an embargo on any trade between the two nations. Yesterday,
you can't get any higher. It's at 145, so we know it's coming down.
Today, he writes on social media, an 80% tariff seems right, and it'll be up to his treasury chief, who'll be among the negotiators in Switzerland. That would be a significant reduction, but still a very high import tax that could push prices higher. The post is another sign the president's essentially publicly negotiating tariffs with himself, constantly reversing his stance.
Oh, wow.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Yeah, I mean, this is really really funny.
Master deal maker.
I mean, this is funny. 145% tariff on China to be the big guy. To be the big guy, the big tough guy, swinging the big stick, standing up to China. Who in their right mind, and I worded that carefully, who in their right mind would have actually thought that China would bend to the tariff pressure? Anybody who actually thought that is not of right mind. So the president is negotiating against himself. Why the tariff cut? Because the threat of tariffs with China ain't working. There is turmoil at FEMA again. It continues as we get ready for hurricane season.
Just weeks before the start of hurricane season, the head of the Federal Emergency Management Agency has been replaced. Cameron Hamilton held the acting administrator's job for the last few months. President Trump has been critical of the agency during the Biden administration and has suggested individual states, not the federal government, should take the lead on disaster response.
It's called you fix it. You take care of it yourselves. You don't have to call.
Hamilton is out a day after appearing before a House Appropriations Subcommittee.
FEMA must return to its roots where response to disasters locally led, state managed, and federally supported.
Hamilton was asked about plans to eliminate FEMA.
I do not believe it is in the best interest of the American people to eliminate the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Okay.
Having said that, I'm not in a position to make decisions and impact outcomes on whether or not a determination such as consequential as that should be made.
Connecticut Democrat Rosa DeLauro asked the question. She accused President Trump of firing anyone who is not blindly loyal to him. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Wow. Okay. Well, then I guess the president isn't interested in the truth, the reality, because the smartest presidents, and Ronald Reagan was one of them, the smartest presidents know what they don't know, and they hire people who know what they don't know, and that's why they're successful. I'm Scoot. That's it for Scoot's News Briefs. We're going to come back with some of your comments if you want to join us, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk, and text line is 504-260-1870. Look, let's not forget about the hot mamas that are out there for Mother's Day. Yeah. A song about MILFs. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be right back on WWL. Yeah, all right, so what? It's raining. I mean, at some point, the rain's going to end. It's Friday. We're heading into the weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. So there's a woman who won a lawsuit because a coworker called her Darth Vader. Now, this happened in the UK, and the award was the equivalent of $40,000 in American dollars. The woman is Lorna Rook, and she worked for the National Health Service since 2003. She resigned in 2021. Darth Vader is, you know, basically the villain in the Star Wars movie series. He's seen as a sinister and just an evil force. One of her co-workers defined her. This was just during a general meeting of everybody. Amanda Harbor, her co-worker, filled out an assessment on her behalf and said that she has the personality type of Darth Vader. She meant to say that she was a very focused individual who brings the team together. That was why she used Darth Vader. But the person who was called Darth Vader didn't like it, and she felt very much offended, suffered great anxiety, and was awarded $40,000. I mean, could it get any more ridiculous than that? I mean, grow up. I mean, you know, the stuff that people deal with, and I'm also thinking about Katy Perry. Katy Perry's been criticized because people say she can't dance. Well, she did a job at a show recently in Houston, and basically she said, let the critics see this. You have no idea, and those of you who were so quick to criticize on Facebook, Instagram, so quick to criticize in text to this show, so quick to criticize me or this show, do you know what that's like to get that all the time? I doubt that many of you who are so quick to criticize, I doubt that you could take it. I'm serious. You're not as tough as you think you are. You've got to be really tough to take this crap. And this woman, you know, should have just thought, oh, well, I mean, so what? And the woman apparently didn't even mean it in a malicious way, but she said it, and the woman got, you know, the equivalent of $40,000. And with Katy Perry and people like that who are just constantly criticized, just think about how quick you are to criticize and to get really personal with it. How much could you take that? How tough are you? I guarantee you a lot of people who are very critical couldn't take it. Let's go to Ian with a couple of your text messages.
Here's a text from Christian Stokes.
Oh,
who
Christian.
Says, hey, just checking to see how Scoot enjoyed our Tales of the Macabre media night last night. And Ian, when are you coming?
It was awesome. So media night last night, this is at the mortuary on Canal Street. And it's called The Tales of the Macabre at the Mortuary. And it's true stories about New Orleans. And there are actors that act it out. And you go through what seems like this, well, it's like a haunted house. And I mean, I know it's not Halloween, but these are true stories about the macabre that actually happened in New Orleans. Like there's a story about the axe murderer. There are stories about murders in New Orleans. There's a story about the Rougalou. And it's really pretty fascinating, really well done. At the end of it, there's this really awesome bar scene for the public after you finish the tour. You know, they've got some cocktails for you during the tour. They've got non-alcoholic and alcoholic. As you walk through this, they've had three different stations where you had cocktails going through. I mean, they weren't that strong. I mean, I took the non-alcoholic, but I could tell that they weren't that strong. But then there's this like really cool bar scene. I ran into so many of our listeners last night. I just, if you talked to me last night, I want to thank you. I remember the couple that I met when I was leaving, crossing the street. I remember every one of you that I met in the bar scene and along the way. And so many people just love what we do, love the way we do it, love what we represent on this show. And I just had one guy said, Scoot, I agree with absolutely everything you say. Everything. Now, obviously, not everybody does. But I just want some of you to know that there are those people out there who support this show. We have an incredible audience. And thank you for inviting me to Media Night. I thought it was awesome. And we're going to start talking about this on a regular basis next week. But look for an opportunity to go to Tales of the Macabre at the Mortuary. So well done. And walking from one scene to the next is really cool. And they've got really good actors acting this stuff out. And, you know, you might see somebody on the tour that you might want to, you know, maybe talk to. And there's a whole bar scene for everybody at the end of it all. And it's really a cool looking bar.
I'll give you three quick ones.
Go.
James and Harvey says, Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who served us publicly, the teachers, nurses, childcare workers, and all the heroic mothers, simply because they are heroes by simply being moms.
And massage therapists.
Here's the text that says, Iowa Cajun here. There will likely never be a Cajun Pope, but I remember two great Cajun presidents, Boudreaux Wilson and Theodore Robichaud.
Come
on. That's awesome.
Old Teddy Robichaud, man. We remember him.
He
was
Iowa
well
Cajun.
Known down on the bayou.
Yeah, Teddy.
Rode horses,
a
everything.
Rough rider. Riding those alligators. And I'll leave you with this one. Remember, it's illegal to put on your flashers on in Louisiana while it's raining. Abortion is also illegal in Louisiana, raining or otherwise.
All right, if you've got a comment, it's Free for All Friday. The Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, today we wish a very happy birthday to David Gahan. That's how you pronounce his name. David Gahan, lead singer of Depeche Mode, 63 years old today. This band was one of the really undercover dark 80s bands. And man, their music was awesome. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back. This is WWL. All right, on the SOTA Rock Culture calendar on this day in 2020, he was one of the inventors of rock and roll. Didn't get credit for it at the time, but this is the day that Little Richard passed away at the age of 87. The man, he was a legend. All right, it's Free for All Friday. We have a lot more to talk about into the next hour. We will continue to talk about Mother's Day. Start thinking about some of the mothers that were really sexy TV moms. I love doing this every year, and we'll talk about that coming. Hey, be careful driving in the rain. I'm Scoot on the Air on WWL.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Have you well? Yeah. Friday afternoon, May the 9th. Early May, raining, storming. So what is Friday? Man, think about how happy the goth kids are. Mothers are waking up their goth kids saying, hey, wake up, it's cloudy and raining. There's no sunshine out there. Come on. Come on, Randall. Get up and put on your trench coat. Yeah, no, it's cool. They like it. Girls putting on their corsets and their cool goth wear. I don't know, there's something really, really sexy about goth people. I'm Scoot on the air. It is a free-for-all Friday. If you have anything you want to talk about that we don't talk about or we haven't talked about, I mean, as long as it's not too serious. The Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, let's see. Brett Baer says that, quote, of course the president helped break the trust in the media. He said that the president of the United States, as a person, broke the system and undermined what is left of public trust in the media. You know, this president came along at a time when people were distrusting the media. And he came along with the right message for those people at the right time. And there's a lot that's broke about the media. And I'm in this business, but I don't always defend my industry. In fact, from the inside, I can be quite critical. And I have not heard any other person in the media, radio, television, social media, whatever. I have not heard other people come up with some of the criticism that I have of my business. Maybe they don't get it. Maybe they don't even know, because there are a lot of people in this industry who don't know really what they're doing. They don't understand communication theory. Many are on because, well, they want to be famous, and radio was their quickest way to be famous. Yeah, I'm on the radio. My name is so and so, and I'm on the radio, and people can hear my voice, and they can hear my voice, and they can hear my name, and I'm famous. And I'm telling you, man, that's why a lot of people got in the business. And I know, because I know these people. I've worked with them over the years here and elsewhere. I mean, not right now at this station, but in New Orleans.
I'm right here.
I'm not talking about you.
All right.
I'm talking about, we used to call them pukers. Because they would talk like this,
what?
You know. It was
why?
Called pukers. It was going to puke of, hey, this is, WKRF, New Orleans, and, you know, I'm a puker. I'm talking like this because I don't know how else to talk.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it was back in the day. And I mean, I never thought I would make it in this business because I didn't have one of those puker voices. I mean, I did the best I could. And I mean, I was bad. I mean, I was so awful. I mean, I would go home and I would, like, pray to God that I could have an industry. In fact, one time early in my career, my wife at the time and I went on vacation, and we drove through Fort Lauderdale to Key West. It was a great vacation. Well, we stopped at a place, and it was free in Fort Lauderdale. It was one of the early timeshare buildings, and I actually bought a timeshare. Well, it didn't take me long to figure out we weren't going to use it, and I ended up selling it, and I got out of it. But I actually, when I got to Key West, I actually called the guy who was a salesman, and I said, you know, I think I might want to do what you do. I mean, I was going to give up radio and be a salesman in Fort Lauderdale for this timeshare place because I thought I would be better at that than radio. I mean, I was awful. I was so insecure. I mean, I'd have all these notes in front of me. Relax, focus, be confident. And I know, and you didn't even know that. If you've been listening to me for many, many years, you had no idea how much I lacked confidence early in my career. Well, and then, you know, when things started to work and I realized that, okay, well, you know, I guess I know what I'm doing. Even though everybody doesn't agree with it, I know what I'm doing, so I'm going to just keep going. But, yeah, I really wanted to give up radio and do that because I didn't have one of those voices. So anyway, my point is, I digress, but my point is there are people in the media who were just there to be famous. And I remember having a conversation with somebody who wanted to be an actress, and she wanted to be famous. And I said, no, that's not the reason to be in the business. You're in the business because you love acting, because it's part of who you are. And if you're good, and if you become famous as a result of doing the work that you love, that's okay. But you don't go into a business to be famous. And I can tell you, there are a lot of people who went into this business to be famous. And that's why they're so damn shallow. And they can't, I mean, their egos are so big, but their talent can't back up what their egos want them to do. And so I was always in this business because I just loved music. And then I loved talk, and I loved politics, and I was a political nerd and a political junkie, and I loved all of that. I just loved politics and pop culture and just talking about stuff and, you know, sometimes being funny and irreverent and using my sense of humor. I loved that. And I knew that if I became known as a result of that, that was going to be okay. Anyway, I digress again. So what happened was that the current sitting president came along at a time with an anti-media message, at a time when people were suspect of the media, because the media was not, the media became more about entertainment than about journalism. And that changed. And when the reality set in that the news, even the serious news, when the news is designed to attract the biggest audience the biggest audience and raise the most amount of money through revenue. You know, you get a big audience and then you get revenue. When the whole idea of raising money and making money off the news became a reality, that's when the media started to change. And it was all about entertaining the audience. It wasn't about giving the audience what the audience really wants. I mean, the national debt is a really big deal. I mean, it's something that could potentially affect every one of us. Could really damage this country. And we're on like the teetering edge of it getting to that point. But do you hear that in the news? No. Why? Because it's not an entertaining topic. Because people don't want to hear about the national debt. So even the hardcore news, they give you what they think you want. Now, Fox News panders to its audience, but everybody's pandering to an audience. Now, sometimes they tell you things that, you know, you might not be that interested in, but there's been a lot of distrust in the media, and it started before this president became a politician. But he came along with a message, but the message was accepted by people who weren't really thinking. They didn't realize that they were being brainwashed. They didn't realize that they were pandering to a man whose ego was so massive that he could not tolerate criticism. Now, if I couldn't tolerate criticism, I wouldn't be doing this job because I get it all the time. And I talked about this a little while ago. Many of you who are so quick to critical, I don't think you could take it. I don't think you could take the criticism that I get, the criticism that a lot of people in the public spotlight and in the media get. I don't think you could take it. You're fine with dishing it out. But on a daily basis, on a constant basis, I don't think you could take it. So, you know, you have to be tough. I understand the criticism of the media, and the media asked for some of that. But the person who is president launched criticism of the media because he could not stand criticism. I think deep down inside, I believe this man is very insecure. I think he remembers when he was a hot playboy. And I can't help but think that when he gets out of the shower and he takes a look at his body and who he is, and he looks at his face, which he hasn't really taken care of, I can't help but think that he's insecure. And so he can't take criticism. I can take criticism because I'm very confident and I know what I'm doing is right. It doesn't mean that everybody agrees with it, but I know what I'm doing is right. So I'm confident. I'm very, very secure. And the criticism about me being gay, or I look like so-and-so, or I look like somebody's grandmother, I mean, like, it's like, that is like stupid criticism. Like, really, that's the best you can do? I mean, really, you think that's really going to hurt me? I mean, I've been in this business this long, and you think that if you tell me that I look like somebody's grandmother, like on my Facebook page or YouTube channel, not YouTube channel, on my Instagram account, you think that that's going to hurt me? No, I mean, I think it's stupid. So I'm really secure with who I am. I dress the way I want to dress. I look the way I look because this is who I am. And as I mentioned yesterday, there's a slight comparison between me and trans people that I can relate to. Because trans people feel this desire to be somebody that society is telling them not to be. And I've even dated people who tried to change me. Well, maybe you shouldn't wear that. Or what if you didn't wear that? What if you stopped wearing that? No, this is who I am. And I can't imagine, like a trans person, I can't imagine being told that I can't be who I am. And I am actually, this is who I am. And I'm going to be who I am. And I hope you have the confidence and the courage to be who you are. So, just going back to the media and the president's inability to accept criticism. You know, you can bully people and just have people around you who are yes men, yes women, but you're not going to get the truth. And one of the things that I always respected about Ronald Reagan was that Ronald Reagan, he was an actor who became a governor, who became a president. Ronald Reagan didn't know a lot, but he surrounded himself with people who knew a lot. He was confident enough to surround himself with people who knew more than him. And man, Ronald Reagan didn't care about criticism. He just laughed it off. But that's not what exists today with the current president of the United States. And so that's why he launched such and continues to launch such harsh criticism of the media. Now you have a choice. Are you going to believe somebody who is... And you have this choice, and you can if you want to. You can believe somebody who is so insecure they have to attack the media because they can't stand criticism. Or you can realize that, you know, the media has its faults, but the media has a job to do. And the job that the media has is holding politicians accountable. That was the beginning of the media. That was the purpose of the media from the beginning, holding politicians and the government accountable. And the media has a responsibility to tell the truth about the current president of the United States. And if they don't, they're not doing the job that they were set to do. And for the media that sucks up to the president of the United States and refuses to be honest about the president of the United States, they're wimps. I mean, they're not really doing the job of the media. Now, they're critical of the other side, and so in that sense, yeah, they're doing their job being critical of one side. And look, the other thing, and I'll just get to this very quickly because I got to get to a break here. The other thing about this is the media is biased. And you know what? It's been biased for a long time. And I've said this before. If I'm given a set of facts, and you're given a set of facts, and we have to present those facts, you and I are going to present both set of facts differently because of our life references, because of what I feel and sense about life and what you feel and sense about life. You're going to present those facts one way. I'm going to present those facts in another way. And maybe neither one of us is wrong, but we're biased because we're human. Even Walter Cronkite was biased. Walter Cronkite was biased after he went to Vietnam. He went to Vietnam to cover Vietnam, and what he saw made him biased. not so much in being overtly biased in the stories that he told on the air, but he was biased with his body language. There was bias in the pictures and the film that they showed of Vietnam, what they chose to show. He was just biased in his delivery. And he was much more sympathetic of the anti-war movement after he went to Vietnam. And even as a young person, long before I got into the media, I noticed that. And looking back, I realized that I noticed it back then. So it is impossible for the media to be totally objective. So what you need to do is understand the media's biased and just figure out where you're going to get the news. And most people, because it's the lazy thing to do, most people look for confirmation bias. They look for the media outlet that confirms what they believe, because changing your mind can be exhausting. And changing your mind also sheds a light on you that you were not right. You were wrong about something, and you don't want to admit you were wrong. You want to stick with what you've believed no matter what. And that has been one of the big things concerning support for one candidate over another candidate. So just understand the media is biased, and you kind of have to pick and choose and realize for yourself that they're all biased, and you have to figure out what is the truth.
Really nicely said. I'll only add this. I've started thinking about it this way. You know, people will often ask us, okay, well, you always tell us what not to watch. You always tell us where not to get the news. Where do you get the news? And I could give you a couple, you know, AP and Reuters, you know, yeah, just to begin with. But just as a rule, get your news from people that get fired if they lie to you. Get your news from people that get fired if they screw up or they get in trouble or they get suspended. Do not get your news from people who pay no consequence whatsoever for getting it wrong or for just straight up misinforming you. I'm not telling you, you know, Theo Von and Joe Rogan and those guys, yeah, like that's entertaining. You can go listen to that. But that cannot be your primary source of getting news, because if they get it wrong, if they screw up, nothing happens to them. Nothing happens to them at all. And in fact, they have an incentive to get it wrong, because if they start telling their audiences things they don't want to hear, they will leave. They will go somewhere else, and then they don't have a platform anymore. That's what I like about the legacy media.
Yeah.
It sticks around, kind of no matter what.
Well, this is a profound point, Ian, and you're bringing up a really great point, and that was well said as well. You know, you've got to, once you figure out who Joe Rogan is, then you decide whether or not you're going to believe everything he says. The problem is that people who are in total support, in blind support of the current president of the United States, when they watch Fox News, for example, they understand where Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham, they understand where Jesse Waters, they understand where everybody's coming from, but they like it because that's where they're coming from. And it's difficult, it's taxing to think for yourself. It is a lot more relaxing, it's less stressful to let somebody else tell you what to believe, or to let somebody tell you that they believe what you believe, and you're not seeking the truth. And seeking the real outlets and figuring out the outlets that you need to follow to find out the truth, that's time-consuming, and a lot of people are lazy. All right, you got a comment. You want to join us? The Oakenhart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. And Sunday is Mother's Day, and we're not forgetting about mother. Sometimes our mothers need a little help. Never feel like just going out getting naked in the rain? I never thought about it, but the Red Hot Chili Peppers wrote a song about it. Naked in the rain. I'm not suggesting that you do it, but it is a good afternoon to do it. I mean, if you could do it privately in your backyard, just go, you know, I mean, if you've got like a sprawling area or a backyard area and nobody can see anything, go get naked in the rain. I'm sure it's a very cathartic thing to do. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. During the break, I just saw a TV commercial for CatholicsComeHome.org. There's a lot of excitement about the selection of the new Pope, Pope Leo XIV, Robert Prevost from Chicago, who is a Creole, mulatto. And that's really, really fascinating, because there are people who never thought there would ever be a black pope. So he's got some black blood in him. So, you know, this is a very diverse thing to mention. But a lot of people are excited about this new pope and hoping that he brings attention to the Catholic Church. This is a perfect time for CatholicsComeHome.org to be running a TV commercial. So, you know, it's smart for that to happen. All right, let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Irvin in Hammond. Irvin, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good Friday, Scoot.
Hey, good Friday to you, too.
President Trump. Thank you, sir. President Trump and his sidekick, Elon, are disruptors. But I have a new term for President Trump. He's been playing the public and the media for a while. It's called emotional loading. He's very good at it. For example, we're going to build a wall between us and Mexico will pay for it. This time around, he said, on day one, I will get inflation under control. He also said, on day one, I will end the war with Russia and Ukraine. He's also been doing emotional loading about Canada and Greenland as the 51st state. Now, the last thing I'll say about that, because I hate that these people are upset in Canada and Greenland, to become the 51st state, which Puerto Rico has been trying to do for decades, you have to have a public referendum in that country. Then your government, their government, has to assemble a constitutional convention that aligns themselves with our constitution. And then once that's done, it goes to our House and Senate for approval, and finally the president signs it. This is why Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico cannot become states. So you know that Canada and Greenland will never become states. But again, this is emotional loading done by the president of the United States. And it's why he was in the news throughout the 4 years of Joe Biden's presidency. Yeah. I'll give it to you.
No, I agree with that. He is driven by his ego. The problem is there are a lot of people in this world, and I know people like this, and I'm sure you do as well, and their ego is cashing checks that their talent can't cover. Writing checks, that's the best way to put it. Their egos are writing checks that their talent can't cover, can't cash. And the whole thing about Canada is an ego trip for the current president of the United States. In fact, Ian, I don't know whether this would be easy to figure out.
What?
You know, chances are if Canada became the 51st state, chances are Canada would be a blue state and not a red state. Think
yes.
about the population of Canada. How many electoral votes would they have?
Oh, I think we looked this up one time. I think we figured it out because you can parcel it out. Like
would be just Canada.
If you carved it up into districts the same way that you did the continental United States or the rest of the 50 United States.
I mean, British Columbia would be like a parish, would be like a county within the state of Canada. Ottawa. Alberta would be like a county. Within the state of Colorado, within the state of Canada, but the president is pushing so much for Canada to be a state. It certainly would be a blue state. And how many electoral votes would they have? Do we? I don't remember that. I don't know how to. I don't know. I don't have the formula in front of me. Maybe we could get one of our listeners to do it because our listeners are really good at math. So if anybody wants to just take up this assignment for just a moment, and I trust our audience, if you want to take this up, figure out the population of Canada. I mean, you can find that out easily. And then figure out what is the percentage of electoral votes a state gets based on their population. And let's figure out what the electoral vote of Canada would be. I mean, if you were a Republican and Canada is a state and they have that many electoral votes, my God, how much time would they be spending in Canada?
Canada would have 52 electoral votes.
Only 52?
Yeah.
How many does California have?
Oh, I think like 40?
You can hear Ian figuring it out.
California has 55 electoral votes.
55. So, I know that the northern part of Canada is not that populated. So Canada would only have 52 electoral votes?
Yeah, I mean, if you had a population density map, you've got Vancouver. And then the kind of,
Montreal,
sort of eastern seaboard, Toronto,
Calgary.
Ottawa. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
The population of Canada is about equal to the population of California.
What about Nova Scotia?
Nova Scotia?
I'd love to go to Nova Scotia. Eh?
Let me know.
All right. All right. It's not as much as I thought. But look, but still, that would be another blue state. So if you won, so 370 electoral votes to win, if you won Canada and California, you would have 107. You'd have 107 electoral votes toward 370. So I don't know why the president of the United States wants to push so hard for Canada to be a state, because I think it would be a blue state. Let's go to Ruby in Slidell. Hey, Ruby, you're on WWL.
Hi, Scoot.
Hey, Ruby.
Happy Friday.
Same.
How are you?
I'm good.
And hi, Ian. I wanted to say maybe 3 points here. One is that I moved back to the city 2014 with my now husband to retire, and your show was the first one that I connected in a sense with community. Another time I called in and I was sharing about my parents of the Upper Ninth Ward raised us at the corner of Feliciana and 20, and we still have the little house there, 14 kids. And then yesterday, and then Ian had to, make the people leave me alone because I'm crying tears. And he was like one of my 10 brothers. He was taking up for me on the show. But then yesterday when one of my brothers said, hey, the new Pope, that's Preville's family.
Wow.
Said, we know the Preville's. And today on the 12 o'clock news, they said he had roots in New Orleans. And I asked Ian, I said, did y'all talk about this already?
Oh,
he said, I wasn't here yesterday. So from the 7th Ward, and his grandmother was baptized at St. Louis Cathedral.
So are you,
so everybody
are you related
knows
to the,
that.
Are you related to the Pope?
Well, we all related, right?
Well,
but
yeah.
we grew up with the Prevost.
Wow.
That's the thing.
Fascinating.
But fascinating, isn't it? But you could almost like feel it in your soul. The previous Pope, though I'm not Catholic, there's a respect for just the love that they too have for community, right?
Awesome.
And so he would just tell people, pray for me. I love that about Pope Francis. And now we have Pope Leo, got roots from New Orleans.
Yeah.
And so kill community is still the theme. Next Thursday, May 15, Uptown Britannia Theater, the Tulane University film students are hosting a film festival. And one of the many films is called Angel of St. Charles. I'm featured in that film as the Labrador Lady. Come out, folks, see it, 2:30. Everything's free. And then also my brother, one of the 10, is a psychiatrist in New Orleans East. He has a mental health hospital and a rehab center with 40 beds. Please spread that among the community.
You know, Ruby, if you want to send me an email with just the basic information on that, I'll be happy to mention that on the show. And my email address is real simple. It's scoot@wwl.com.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Wonderful.
And then also,
if you want to
call back on the 14th, the day before the 15th, and remind us about that event at La Petite Theater, please feel free to do that.
Yeah, will do.
All right, I got to get to a break here, Ruby. But look, I enjoyed your call, and I appreciate that information. All right, you got a comment, Oakenheart Jewelers, talking text line 504-260-1870. On this day in 1974, this was a big, big day for Bruce Springsteen. This is when his career got an amazing boost. He opened up for Bonnie Raitt at the Boston Arena. It was a full two-hour show, which is very unusual for an opening act, and Bonnie Raitt insisted on him doing this full show. Bruce Springsteen was so impressive that Rolling Stone's John Landau wrote in Boston's The Real Paper this, "I saw rock and roll future. Its name is Bruce Springsteen. And on a night when I needed to feel young, he made me feel like I was hearing music for the very first time." I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, well. Oh, that is the amazing Etta James. Stormy weather on a Friday afternoon, but hey, it's Friday, so what? Just relax, take it easy, drive carefully. Don't get into an accident to start your weekend off, and accidents are out there waiting to happen. So just be really, really careful. Don't be in a rush. Do what you have to do. Get home and relax, and I think the rain's going to come to an end by tomorrow. All right, I'm Scoot. Let's get to a few more of your calls. Let's go to the North Shore. Robert, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hello, Scoot. Hey. How are you today?
I'm good.
The one of my crazy things is, like, when you say that Trump can't take criticism. I mean, he's been criticized for 10 or 12 years by the left. I mean, he's been called Hitler. He's been called, well, ex-felon because of trumped-up charges. I mean, that happened 10 years ago. How can you possibly say he can't take it? If he can't take criticism, I mean, why would he even run for president or anything like that? Well, maybe to stay out of jail?
I don't know.
I truly believe that he's not. Listen, he's much better than that Kamala Harris. Good grief. I mean, but I realize that he has a lot of faults.
I mean, I get that.
He has faults.
But Robert, if
he's got faults.
All right, if he
would you rather Kamala be the president? Good grief, that woman is an ignorant person.
She's not ignorant. I mean, that's ignorant.
That's wrong.
She's not ignorant. I agree.
Not ignorant. Yeah. But she's out of her league. I agree with you.
Just because he was the better choice for a lot of people doesn't mean that we excuse his faults. And he wants to shut down any media, and sometimes even threatens Fox News. He wants somebody on Fox News fired. Howard Kurtz last week defended him, but the president was critical that he did not defend him strongly enough, and he said it was time for him to retire. So the president of the United States, just because he's criticized a lot doesn't mean he can take it. Yes, he's criticized a lot, but he tries to take action against any media outlet that runs critical stories about him, especially the big ones.
And you're saying the Democrats didn't?
I'm not saying that, and we're not playing whataboutism on this show. So what? The Democrat, that's a different story. So if the Democrats do it, too, that doesn't mean it's right if the current president does it. It's wrong for both of them to do it. And I have mentioned countless times on this show that when Barack Obama was president, he tried to really lash out at Fox News because he didn't like their angles of stories about him. So that was wrong. I called that out as wrong at the time. But this president can't seem to take criticism. He wants to shut down the media that criticizes him, and that's a threat to freedom of speech, which is very sensitive to me.
But the point is like, at least he does wrong things. I agree 100%. But I mean, I definitely believe he does a lot of right things, and a lot of right things that this country really needs. I mean, because we have all, you know, I don't believe he was the president at all.
All right, other than, we've criticized that too. Other than the border, what's something that do you believe this president has done right?
Well, I think going after fair trade, you know, I mean, the NAFTA agreement was really tearing this America apart. Okay. I mean, it just tore out, it took all of our manufacturing away. And I'm not talking about garments.
I'm talking about
main manufacturing. Yeah.
Well, that started before NAFTA. NAFTA was in the early 90s, and there were jobs going overseas before that. That might have enhanced it, but that wasn't the... You know, see, people get certain information, and then they just repeat the information like nothing happened before NAFTA. There were jobs going overseas before NAFTA, and it's because of American greed, Robert. I mean, we want the best product at the lowest price, and the unions were driving up the expenses for corporations. I think corporations are greedy because they want to make a certain amount of money. They're not willing to absorb the cost of anything. They'll pass it all on to the consumer, and so they felt like they needed to go overseas to to have products made.
Scoot, I was more Democrat. I voted for Obama twice, you understand? And I felt that George Bush was the worst president that we ever had, with the exception of Joe Biden. I mean, I the only reason why I hated the Republicans is when Mitch McConnell, when Obama tried to put Merrick Garland in as the Supreme Court Justice, Mitch McConnell blocked it. So I'm not just a stupid Republican.
I didn't say.
In other words,
I wasn't going to say that. You don't sound like it to me.
I believe that this, huh?
You don't sound like that to me.
I mean Mitch McConnell, and now Mitch McConnell is against Trump. But
well, that's kind of a natural thing. I mean, you know, Tip O'Neill was against Ronald Reagan. I mean, that's kind of a natural thing. Robert, I really have to get to a break, but honestly, I enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah, I just wanted to catch a couple things here. The original assertion that Trump cannot handle criticism is true. It's true to an incredible degree. I mean, there's a list with a million entries on it of, you know, Party A said something critical of Trump or his policies, and then he turns back and blows those people out of the water. I'm thinking about the Khan family in the 2016, that Gold Star family that said, we don't like the Muslim ban. And he turns around and gets in a feud with them. He gets in a feud with Jim Acosta. He freaks out at Megyn Kelly. He freaks out at John McCain. John McCain said something slightly critical of him in the 2015 in the primary.
Yep.
And he said, well, I don't like John McCain because he got captured. I mean, that is the type of thin skin reactionary stuff that we're talking
about.
And
I think, as I said earlier, I think it's because the man himself is insecure. He doesn't like the way he looks, but he's not doing anything about it. He could have trainers. He could have a nutritionist. He could look a lot better than he looks. And I think he's frustrated. And I, as a person, this is my observation, I don't think he's happy with himself. And when you're not happy with yourself, you can't take criticism because, you know, you want things to boost you up because you're not happy with yourself. So, yeah, the list is long, and it does amount to really an attack on freedom of speech when he's attacking criticism of him.
Just one more thing to flag here, that kind of knee-jerk, reactionary, both-siderism. When we say, Trump has sued media outlets for criticizing his policies, and Robert turns around and says, you don't think a Democrat would do the same thing? No.
No.
No Democratic president has ever sued CBS, ABC, and filed out all these lawsuits trying to literally silence voices again. Yeah, you're right. And we've criticized before Barack Obama, you know, got the world's tiniest tiff with Fox News.
But it was.
No Democrat president has ever
done it's true.
What
I mean,
Donald
look,
Trump has
the
done.
The Democrats
media.
Don't like criticism, but no Democrat has acted like the current president of the United States. I know we are far behind. We got to get to a break, but let's get a forecast for us here. All right, let's find out what's going on with the weather. Can we get this forecast? All right. Here comes a forecast. Well, I didn't time this out right.
They're coming up to the podium.
I'm telling you, they're coming up. They're walking up right now.
Any second now.
Yeah, all right, they're getting to the map.
We're all on the edge of our seats.
All right, here's the forecast. Okay, what you got? All right, we've got to get to a break. We'll get back to the forecast a little bit later. Wow, we just had a storm. In fact, it's still continuing in downtown New Orleans. So with all of this general rain, 100% chance of rain today, with all this general rain on this Friday afternoon, there are some really strong showers. But, hey, it's going to get better. And look, so what? A little rain? You know, we've talked about this before. I think it was Luke Bryan who told us this, that the rain makes corn. The corn is used to make whiskey. And the whiskey makes his girlfriend frisky. So there's benefits to rain. I mean, we got to have rain. And some of you have, like, you know, landscaping and laundry and not laundry, but you have landscaping. You've got plants. You've got lawns that need to be taken care of. So the rain helps all of that. All right, a lot to get to in this final hour. I hope we can get to all of it. We've got some calls to get to as well. So we were talking earlier about a former New York Republican Congressman George Santos pleaded with the President of the United States to give him a pardon, commute his sentence, give him clemency, whatever he can give him, please, because he's facing 87 months in prison. And Santos was crying. He was wiping tears from his eyes. I mean, I guess so. I mean, the guy's going to freaking prison. I'd be crying, too. Now, I remind you that George Santos was the guy who was like a cross-dresser. I don't think he was a drag queen. I don't know that he's gay, but, you know, I just remind you, and, you know, for Republicans to act like, you know, they're all perfect, you know, here's one of your own who was a crossdresser. I guess he still is a crossdresser. And so this is another thing to remember when it comes to judging people. And you can't judge all Republicans by right-wing radicals. There are some great Republicans. There are some great conservatives. There are people who are Republican, conservative, who care about America. They want the best for America. But they're not right-wing radicals. So, you know, we have to be careful about judging people in general. And George Santos is another example of that. And I mentioned that also Republican FBI director J. Edgar Hoover, as tough as that SOB was, and he was tough, as tough as he was a crossdresser. I mean, that's what most people reported, that he was into wearing women's clothes. These are straight men who like to dress up like women. I know, I talked earlier about this. I know a lot of you don't get it, and I don't get it. I had a lot of friends in Denver who were crossdressers, and they were really my dear friends, and I met them. I mean, I didn't do it. I mean, they wanted to dress me up, because a lot of them are kind of big. You know, and I'm not big, and so I would actually fit into a lot of those, you know, clothes. I mean, they wanted to dress me up, but I said, you know what, guys? No, I'm not going to do it. It's not me. I mean, I wear a red dress for Red Dress Run. I don't mind trying on, you know, Mardi Gras apparel that's for women at Logo Express during Mardi Gras. I don't mind doing that kind of stuff, but I'm not into cross-dressing. And I said, you guys are into this, and this is your thing, and you feel so passionately about it. And I said, it would be gratuitous if I let you, you know, dress me up. So I didn't do it, but I met them through the production director of the radio station, who was indeed a cross-dresser, and then hung out with him, and then some of his friends started coming in. But yeah, it's more common than you think, and I'm sure there are Republicans and conservatives who are cross-dressers. So it's not just some kind of a wacko liberal thing, as some of you might want to think. We got to talk about this afternoon. There was a panel on Newsmax, that's the right-wing radical TV network, that is criticizing bicycle lanes and condemning former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, saying that the bicycle lanes are communist garbage and un-American. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. I'll get to more of your calls here coming up. I know we've got a lot to get to this hour. Sunday is Mother's Day. We've got some more Mother's Day music planned this hour to talk about. And, you know, we can start the conversation. I don't know. We've got some other stuff going on, so I don't know how much attention we can pay to this. But I would love to hear from you about who you thought was the sexiest TV mom. And we do this every year. Are there some new TV moms that are really sexy? I mean, truthfully, I don't watch a lot of just like sitcoms. I don't watch a lot of dramas. I don't watch a lot of shows like that that are current today. I just don't. So I don't know who the cool, sexy, hot moms are today. So if you want to suggest one, that would be cool. If you just want to send it into text, that's great. If you want to call, you can call. The Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. I have talked about this before, and I'm not alone in thinking this. Samantha from Bewitched, to me, was the sexiest TV mom. She wore slightly short dresses that came up to mid-thigh. And I don't think this makes me a pervert. It just points out that I was a known heterosexual early in my life. When I was watching that as a young male, I honestly used to watch and see if, when she sat down on the sofa, if I could see up her dress. I mean, that was just my natural instinct. I mean, I hope she sits down. I would look, and I wonder if I can see it. I never could. Morticia was kind of a goth-type, sexy TV mom from the Addams Family. So who else was? You can just send us a text. The Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. All right, Ian, just in the news just now, there was somebody, the new Pope himself, Pope Leo, said, don't look at Jesus like he's Superman. Mm-hmm. But I mean, in a lot of ways, he was a Superman.
The original Superman.
Well, exactly. I mean, long before Superman, the series, and then all the movies, there was, you know, Jesus, who was really a Superman. In fact, the original series, The Adventures of Superman, the original series,
yeah.
Is on tomorrow from 8 to 10 on Heroes and Icons, that station.
Cool.
And sometimes I get up and watch it. You know, it's so stupid, the way he's flying through the air. You know, I mean, it's really dumb.
With his fists out in front of him like that? Really, that's not how I would fly.
It's really dumb. But, you know, it just brings back memories for me as a kid. So there's some comfort. It's kind of like a comfort blanket for me.
You love that old stuff.
I watch some of those old shows. Yeah, and you know, when those shows are on, I think about the show. I think about things that I want to accomplish. It allows my mind to wander because I don't have to pay attention to it because I know how it's going to end. But I enjoy it.
Do people know what you do as soon as you get off the air in your office?
I don't think so.
Should we tell them?
I don't know.
I'm probably overselling it. It's not that interesting, but into this conversation.
Yeah, but you know, and some people might not.
It's your personal thing.
Some people might not get it, but it's comforting to me to do this. So I'm gonna hold off on that.
I think
right
it's
now.
Very charming.
I'm gonna hold off. But you know, again, it's not that I have to pay attention to it, but the fact that it's there, it's comforting to me because it reminds me of my childhood. But what about this whole idea that Jesus is indeed Superman? I mean, think about it. Think about all the things he could do. Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes, Jesus. Strange visitor sent by God, who came to earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Jesus, who can change water into wine, who can walk on water, who disguised as a mortal, mild-mannered man from a great, forgiving God, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and a sin-free life. It's Jesus, the original Superman. All right, let's get to a couple of your calls. Let's go to Johnny in Gentilly. Hey, Johnny, welcome to the show.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
We've been having this ongoing controversy with the speed cameras and the school zones and how much money the city going to steal and how much the school board is supposed to get for this corruption. And we all know it's a money grab, but we have the ultimate solution. I came with this solution about 4 years ago, and maybe somebody else did as well. But they're doing it in Southern California. Now, the solution for this is very simple. It doesn't cost a lot of money, and you don't need a police. You don't need a crossing guard. You don't need those illegal cameras. All you have to do in the school zone is put up speed bumps because everybody stops and slows down for speed bumps. Now, I know what everybody's going to say. Well, I don't want to go through a speed bump at night when school is closed and out on the weekends and all that stuff. The solution is put retractable speed bumps or collapsible speed bumps. And when school is open, you got to go through those speed bumps, and that will keep those kids totally safe. And you don't have to worry about these illegal cameras anymore. They're doing it in Southern California. So why can't New Orleans do it?
Well, because we don't have any money. I mean, we've got money for the mayor to travel, but we don't have money to do that.
They got money to put the cameras up? Where did they get the money to put the cameras up?
I think the company that does that puts the cameras up. I could be mistaken, but I think that money comes from there. But look, I think you have a good idea. I like the idea that they're not up all the time. You know, I don't want those speed bumps there when I'm, you know, trying to go, you know, 59 or 60 miles an hour down the canal.
They're collapsible.
No, I like that idea. I wouldn't want regular speed bumps up there for that reason. But look,
because nobody wants to keep the kids safe. They just want to grab money.
Well, I think they're using the idea of keeping the kids safe as a way of grabbing money.
Right, because people care more about their cars than they do about kids. I guarantee you they slow down for those speed bumps.
They don't care
about the child, but they will do care about the automobile.
I think people do care about kids. I mean, there's some people who don't care.
Because if they did, they would put the speed bumps up. Yeah. That would absolutely slow down the cars.
Johnny, I love your passion. The city doesn't have money to do that, but it is an interesting idea. I'll give you credit for that. So I appreciate you calling with that. I love interesting ideas. And who knows? You know, this phone call could lead to somebody in the city thinking, hey, maybe this is a possibility. maybe we could do this. But, you know, they get a lot of money from the cameras. And what you should do, you want to get back at the city? You think the city is into a money grab? You want to get back at the city? Don't do anything wrong. Don't speed through speed zones. Don't allow yourself to get a parking ticket. So you can, you know, get back at the city by not doing those things. The city would be broke if everybody parked illegally and had the correct amount of money in the meter. If the city could not write parking tickets, the city would be a hell of a lot broker than it is. The city wants you to make mistakes. So if you want to stick it to the city, then don't let your meter run out. All right, we got to get back to the forecast. All right, let's get back to the forecast, because we had just a storm. It's still raining in downtown New Orleans, but boy, we had a vicious storm here just a few minutes ago. But let's get back to the forecast. We were getting some information here about the forecast. We couldn't get to all of it, so I want to continue with this this forecast here. It's coming up in just a moment. We're getting them back to the map, and we're about to continue to get. Okay, let's go back to the forecast. Okay, there we go. All right, I'm Scoot. If you want to join us, the Oak and Art Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. We'll get to more of your calls coming up here in just a few minutes. Look, Sunday is Mother's Day. And, you know, we can all think of times when we were young, when we enjoyed going over to a friend's house because his or her mom was hot. Sometimes if you went to like a girl's house, maybe the mom was hotter than the girl. And this has been documented. I mean, this is a phenomenon. Sometimes moms are really sexy. Yeah, she was a MILF. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, on this day in 1960, birth control pills were introduced into America. Loretta Lynn did a song about it. Yeah, at the age of 28, when the pill was introduced in 1960, Loretta Lynn had already given birth to four of her six children. And she was beginning a professional career, and then she learned about the pill, and she learned about reproductive freedom, and she released this song about the pill. You know, there was a time the pill was declared unconstitutional. Well, banning the pill was declared unconstitutional. Yeah, the pill was when the pill was introduced, it was banned in some areas. There was an attempt by the government, conservatives, to block reproductive freedom. This was not even abortion. This was just preventing a pregnancy. And the Catholic Church was against the pill, of course, and I think probably still is. But this changed women's lives. It changed lives for men, too, because you could have that kind of relationship, that physical relationship with your wife, and not worry about a pregnancy. So, you know, God made us this way. He made us want that. He made us like that. It's enjoyable. We're one of the few animals in the animal kingdom that does it for pleasure and not just to procreate. So it was cool. Okay, we got to go to Chris Miller in the newsroom right away with some breaking news.
That's right, Scoot. We've got a tornado warning for Jefferson Parish. Just about a few minutes ago, I guess, right before 3:30, a severe thunderstorm capable of producing a tornado was over Metairie, moving west at 15 miles per hour. The National Weather Service says this dangerous storm will be moving along through Elmwood, River Ridge, Harahand, and warning people to take cover if they can, if they're in that area. This tornado warning is through 4:15 this afternoon while that thunderstorm moves over the area.
Yeah, I think that's the storm that just moved through here. We just had a horrific storm downtown, and I think it must be moving in that direction.
Yeah, it was really coming down, and they haven't seen a funnel, but radar has indicated that there is rotation in this cell, and so they're warning people to take cover now.
Yeah, and remember, a tornado warning is more severe than a tornado watch, so a tornado warning has been in effect. Chris, thanks for that information.
You got it.
Yeah, and let us know if there's a new update on that. So tornado warning in effect for Jefferson Parish until 4:15 this afternoon. So I don't know. What the hell was I saying? Talking about the...
The
pill. Just briefly, when we think about the things that are a challenge today, in the early 60s, when the pill was introduced, there were conservatives who wanted it banned. And so there was a court case, I think in 1965, I think it was Griswold not the people from vacation, but I think it was Griswold versus the state of Connecticut, and the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that banning birth control pills was unconstitutional, that Americans had the freedom to take the birth control pills. So that was a big topic back then. All right, let's get back to a couple of calls. Let's go to Jimmy in Gretna. Hey, Jimmy, what do you have for us?
Hey, what's up, Scoot? Yeah, no, my vote for sexiest mom from TV, I guess, would be maybe Peg Bundy.
Peg Bundy. Yeah, a little on the trashy. You know, a little trashy. Right,
you know,
a little trashy.
A little trashy.
Yeah.
Little 80s metal. All right, no, in all seriousness, probably maybe Becky from Full House, Lori Loughlin. She was pretty good.
She was cute, yeah.
But, yeah, man, hey, and you were talking about Superman. It reminded me of that Three Doors Down song and prayers to the singer. He came down with, he announced this week he's got stage 4 cancer.
Yeah, now you're not thinking about the song. Oh, yeah, Three Doors Down. Yeah,
Superman, Kryptonite.
Yeah, that's right.
When I heard you say that about the Pope, it reminded me of that. So, yeah, anybody doesn't know the singer of Three Doors Down, he's got a hard battle ahead with stage 4. But, a lot of stuff got canceled. They still got NOLA Gold Rugby tonight at 6 o'clock at the Shrine on Airline. Rain or shine going on, Scoot. You also got the West Jeff Family Fest. Now, I thought your girl Amanda, the girl from Nashville, was going to be there, Amanda Shaw, but I think it's Rockin' Doopsy and a few others still on the bill. That's all night, 6 to 11 o'clock. It's a free event, concert, food, and they're saying rain or shine right there at West Jeff, kind of where the bad weather was the other day on the West Bank. And shout out to Master P. You know I'm more of a rock guy. But Master P is doing a concert tonight for his birthday at Smoothie King Center. And, I give him a lot of credit for what he's taken on with UNO and the resurrection of UNO and the athletic program. And again, UNO is a cornerstone university for the city. And Master P, if you see him in public, Scoot, he's always got a UNO shirt on now. Yeah. So I got to give him credit for that, and I hope he can turn the university around with their budget crunch and all that.
That's cool. All right, Jimmy, I appreciate the call. Have a great weekend. Clyde is in Natchez. Hey, Clyde, welcome to WWL.
Oh, see, I'm actually back in New Orleans, and it's crazy. So my roof was leaking. But I agree with the guy about Peggy from Mad with Children. Yeah. Lord have mercy.
But she was kind of white. She was kind of white trash.
She was sexy to me. But that was a nice little trash to me. Well, I was taking that one out.
Listen, you know, I always thought there was something a little sexy about Tonya Harding, but she was totally white trash.
let me just say this about Superman real quick. It's a couple things I want to say real quick, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Now, I think the Pope, to me, was basically saying, don't look at him as Superman, because Superman had a flaw, and the flaw that he had was kryptonite. So therefore, you know, with Jesus, there is no flaw. So he's like, just don't look at him as a superhero, because with that hero, there is a flaw in him. He has to change to become that, but Jesus is Jesus all the way. But number two, I wanted to say this, that I look at all these holidays that they have, like, well, not just holidays, but special days like Mother's Day, Father's Day, President's Day. All these days have this day that belongs to them. We're talking about Halloween belongs to Halloween. But when it comes to Jesus, he got to share it with a rabbit, and he got to share it with Santa Claus. It's like, why does he have to do that? I mean, the Pope got his time, but Jesus, I don't care what day it is, Jesus got to share
Jesus
it with a rabbit.
Jesus needs his own damn holiday.
It's owned by himself. And the last thing is this. I sit back and I listen to the people talking about Trump, and I think as a man, I'm so embarrassed listening to these men, the way they loving this man. I mean, it's like, I remember I had a girlfriend, and my friends say, man, leave her alone, let her go. I mean, I'm crying over it, I'd do anything for her. Let it go. It's like, you are embarrassing your family and you're embarrassing yourself by praising this man like you do. And it's sad as a man to watch another person do that. I feel sorry for his family. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. All right, Clyde, listen, I appreciate the comment. Always like talking to you, so have a great weekend. Look, I'm not going to be able to give this justice today because, you know, we're kind of getting late in the show, and I really want to talk about this. I mean, our bicycle lanes, the growing number of bicycle lanes we have in New Orleans, is this communist garbage? Are bicycle lanes un-American? This is how right-wing and how radical Newsmax is. Now, it's not just Newsmax. I mean, this was a guest that was on Newsmax, but you know, these are the kind of guests that they select, and they're attacking a guy who's not even transportation secretary anymore, Pete Buttigieg. This happened Wednesday night, and I want to get into this, so we'll talk about this Monday afternoon. But to go so far as to say that a bike lane is un-American, you know, why don't we save that term for things that really are un-American? Why don't we save communist garbage for stuff that really is communist garbage? And I think you're pretty hard-pressed to say that bicycle lanes and communist are communist garbage and that bicycle lanes are un-American. So we'll get to that Monday afternoon on the show. All right, we're going to... Well, I mean, right. I mean, I know you ride a bike all the time, but I mean,
it's,
you know,
it's crazy.
But there are people who think this way. And again, look, let me remind you, this is not all Republicans. And I'm standing up for Republicans. I'm standing up for conservatives. These are the right wing radicals. If you want to watch Newsmax for sheer entertainment value, do it. It's funny. It's kind of like a comedy show. But don't take that crap seriously.
You know what's actually communist garbage? A centrally planned economy, kind of like the one that we're sort of putting together right now. Just putting that out there. I saw something on Axios the other day. They're calling it MAGA Maoism. Like whatever the hell kind of plan Trump has for us, it's not unfettered American Western style capitalism.
No, it's
something
not.
Else completely different.
I tell you, I mean, people are blind to the reality that there's borderline... There's a borderline attempt to create a fascist government in this country. And the Christian nationalists are part of it. And we just have to be aware of that happening. Happy thoughts as we head into the weekend. All right, Ian, let's look into this. Check in with AI. And let's ask AI, if AI says 100 men can beat one silverback gorilla. So we can go to break here. And we'll try to come
and
back.
We'll do it when we come back. Okay,
yeah,
great.
We'll do that when we come back.
Got it.
But, you know, this has been going around, and we've talked about it on the show. It's been all over social media. So I thought we would ask AI, can 100 men beat one silverback gorilla? I think the gorilla wins. So we'll find out from AI here in just a moment. All right. It's the beginning of the weekend. All right, we are working our way toward another Friday night. Even though it's raining, I hope you're planning on a fun one. All right, let me remind you, we just had the update from Chris Miller in our newsroom. There's a tornado warning in effect for Jefferson Parish. There's a huge storm. I think that's the storm that swept through downtown New Orleans just a little while ago, going through Jefferson Parish, Elmwood, that whole area. Tornado warning in effect until 4:15. If that's the storm that was downtown a little while ago, and I think it is, man, it's just vicious. And look at all the people with their hazard lights on. Do you know what people think of you when you put your hazard lights on? I mean, if it's that dangerous for you, get off the road. But the hazard lights are illegal if you're moving with the flow of traffic. I mean, you just can't convince some people. They're just dense and they're not going to get it. So we do the best we can. All right, let's go to Ian and find out from AI, could 100 average men in a fight beat one silverback gorilla?
Okay. That's a different one. Hang on a second. Hang on one second. I got too many windows open here.
Okay. Yeah, I think the gorilla would win. I mean, again, as I have said when we've talked about this, how hard would you have to punch a gorilla to knock the gorilla out? I mean, I think you'd break your hand before you would knock the gorilla out. And the gorilla has teeth. And I mean, if threatened, that gorilla will bite your head off. I mean, not literally, but he'd bite your face off. And I can't imagine that enough men would get to him to immobilize him. I just don't think it could. I don't think it could happen.
A silverback gorilla would likely have an overwhelming advantage in hand-to-hand combat against 100 men. They're incredibly strong and exhibit feats of power far beyond human capabilities. That said, the idea of a gorilla defeating 100 men in combat depends upon several factors. In reality, the gorilla would likely come out on top in a one-on-one or even one-on-many situation simply because of his natural ability.
Well, of course. I mean, with soldiers, I mean, that would be a different story. I mean, they might have weapons. We're not talking about
weapons. Well, the
prompt
is bare-handed combat. That's what I put in. Because that's the spirit of the meme. It's not, it's not, you know, 100, you know, Navy SEALs versus silverback gorilla. It's 100 average men.
That's right.
And last time we talked about this, you know, we said, are they naked? Because that's, I mean, I'm, you know, they might not feel so tough going up against the silverback gorilla with your, you know.
Exactly. And he might even laugh at
flopping
you.
Flopping around.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So anyway, look, I want to mention something. Anyway, nice to know that. And by the way, our audience collectively, very, very intelligent. And our audience, we did a text off, I guess it was last week or so. And we did a text off and the audience said the gorilla would win. And I totally agree with that. Last night was media night at Tales of the Macabre at the mortuary. The mortuary has a haunted house. For Halloween? Well, it's not Halloween, so what they've done is they've created this really cool journey. It's through this haunted house, and the effects are incredible. Some of the stuff will just, you know, go to the bathroom before you do this because, you know, it might scare the, you know, what out of you. It's Thursday through Saturday now, and you can get your tickets at mortuary.com live. Mortuary.com live. And it's a production. It's a haunted mansion. And there are three stations as you go through it that have cocktails. But they also have non-alcoholic cocktails. So you get a couple of drinks as you go through it. And then at the end, there's this like whole bar scene for people to just hang out. And I mean, last night, it looked like a really great place to, you know, maybe meet somebody, you know, if you're at that point in your life. But if you have somebody, it might be fun as a couple to go through it and then hang out in this bar because it's really, it just really has a great flow to it. And you know, some bars, well, I mean, they're bars and they serve alcohol, but they're not conducive for meeting people. And this seemed like a great place to socialize. I'll just put it that way. We're going to talk a lot more about this next week. But it's true stories acted out by actors who are dressed for the part, and they talk about the axe murderer in New Orleans. And this is a true story that we talk about it every year on the show. There's a conversation. There's this person who acts out the story about the Rougalou and that story about the swamp area, the bayou area of Louisiana. And there's another just story about vampires and about people who just, you know, disappear. Tales of the Macabre, true stories about New Orleans and Louisiana, set at the mortuary. It's open Thursday through Saturday. And again, you can get your tickets at mortuary. It says mortuary.live. Would that be, that's what it says here, but that would be okay? Would be possible? Mortuary.live?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Okay. Well, that's where you can get your ticket. Mortuary.live.
And mortuary is one of those words I hate typing out. I always get a letter out of line.
I just want to say thanks to all of you who I met last night who said hi. I met a lot of our listeners, and I love meeting you because when I meet you, I put a face with the audience, and I'm thinking about all of the faces of everybody that I met last night, and it was a great event, and I appreciate the comments about the show. I mean, there are so many people that spend every afternoon with us and love this show, and they love what we do. And it's so great to hear that because, as you know, there are people who condemn what we do, criticize what we do, but they're not the majority of the audience. And by the way, we get texts from people who hate this show, but we get texts all afternoon from the same number.
So weird,
so like,
dude,
these people are listening every freaking afternoon, all afternoon. And whenever they get a chance or whenever I say something, these are the people with true TDS, Trump Delusional Syndrome. And they're the ones that it's amazing because I've so gotten their attention. They can't turn it off. They can't not listen. So all they do is complain. But they complain every afternoon. If you're listening every afternoon, thank you. I'm doing my job. And also, if you haven't done it yet, join me on Facebook and Instagram. Scoot on the Air, Instagram, Scoot on the Air, Facebook. Love to also comment on some of your comments. But yeah, so great to meet so many of you. All right, Sunday is Mother's Day. And, you know, we can also think about some sexy mothers. I know we didn't get a chance to talk about that very much. Somebody said Sofia Vergara is a really sexy mom. She's from Modern Family. I'll agree with that. So there's some sexy mamas out there. I'm Scoot, and we're coming back to wrap up the show on WWL. All right. Well, we're out of time. The tornado warning for Jefferson Parish has been discontinued. Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak coming up next with Sports Talk. There's going to be more police presence on the lakefront for Mother's Day. Keep that in mind. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, Market Manager Dan Barron, News Anchor Chris Miller, Traffic with Core DP, and thank you for being part of our show. Even those of you who hate us, thanks for listening. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.